What's going on, my friend? This is Alex Pardo. You're listening to episode 288 of the Flip Empire Show.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
What's going on, my friends? It's Alex here, and I got my two friends, Jeff and Belinda Henry from Two Henry's Real Estate out in Tampa. And guys, this is I'm excited because not only are Jeff and Belinda friends of mine that I've gotten to know over the last couple of years, but they are killing it in the Tampa Bay area. They got a really, really cool business model where they're involved in the retail side that Belinda spearheads. They're involved in wholesale, rehab, and something that you've probably never heard of called Whole Key, okay? And Jeff and Belinda are going to explain exactly what their Whole Key model looks like, how they work with out-of-state and international cash buyers, and share some pretty cool tips. Actually, a few things that I hadn't even considered doing, which are pretty ninja, things that just kind of outside the box ways of growing your real estate business, connecting with more cash buyers, and you know, it's one of the things I always love to do is not just talk about, you know, how experts are building their business, right? But how does the personal life look? And one of the things that we kind of dive into on this episode is, yes, Jeff and Belinda share some awesome strategies on how they've built their business and how they've created multiple streams of income in their model. But we also talk about the dynamics of, you know, being a power couple and, you know, having a successful business while at the same time making sure that they focus on each other within the marriage. They have three kids and they have a family, obviously, which is most important to them. So we talk a bit about, you know, the dynamics of working together and building a business and at the same time working together within the marriage. So, you know, for you husband-wife combos out there listening, I think you're really going to like this episode. And even if you're not married, definitely tune in and listen to this particular episode, guys. Like I said, we talk about how they've been able to have different profit centers within their business, which is really, really cool. They talk about that Whole Key model. And what's really, really fascinating to me is that, like, I think less than a handful of years ago, they weren't even in this business, okay? So it's not like they've been at this for decades or anything. They're hungry, they're go-getters, and they bring it on the podcast, guys. So without further ado, let's hop right into it. Jeff and Belinda Henry, a.k.a. the two Henrys, but the real a.k.a. is the two Belindas in the house. What's going on, guys?
Hey, what's going on, Alex? Hey, how you doing?
Jeff, what are you doing here, man? I want to talk to the boss. I want to talk to Belinda. Get out of here, dude.
All right.
I'm messing with you, man. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. It's always great.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you. Well, people are listening to this probably a month past Valentine's Day, but we are recording on Valentine's Day, so it's the day of love. I love you guys. And so, it's awesome to get you guys on. You know, so for people that don't know, we met my first CG, which was what, December 17. And I remember you guys were one of the first ones I met through CG, and we instantly struck up a friendship. I started teaching you how to work an iPhone and how to leverage technology in your business. Now, I'm messing around, guys, because Jeff has like a tech background, and so I always just tease him with that. But it's been great getting to know you guys and watching you guys grow in your business. I've learned some things from you guys, and so it's awesome to have you on and you know, have you share kind of your nuggets with the audience.
Absolutely, we're excited to be on. Thank you again for inviting us. So
yeah, really, guys. So it. I mean, I covered kind of high level overview. You know, your bio, how you guys got started in the business. But for people that don't know who you guys are, obviously your husband wife power couple, power team here. Talk a little bit about, you know, what your business looks like today, because I know that's not the case. That wasn't the case 5 years ago. You know, talk about what the business looks like today, and then we'll kind of get into the meat and potatoes.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Start with your side.
Yeah, so we definitely broke it up into two. So we have the investment side as well as the retail side that Belinda handles. So how we look today, we have acquisition manager, lead manager, as well as strictly a cold calling person that strictly does cold calling. We actually just reorganized our organization that way, but we also have a project manager that handles all our project management on our rehab side, okay. Which is also kind of our whole key side of the business. So we're ramping up on the whole key side. So we're getting a more UK investors, Canadian buyers, and also out of state investors that want to actually do some turnkey flips in the Tampa Bay area, or actually just flip it and throw it on the MLS. So we kind of do both, and we help them out and give them a white glove service. So we're really ramping that ball up, and we're looking to triple what we did in 2018 for 2019 on the wholesale side.
I love it. So you mentioned the word whole key. And so I didn't even know what whole key was until I met you guys. And you have this like niche strategy that you guys have like cornered, and now you like monopolize, which I love. So for people listening that don't know what whole key means, I'll leave it to the masters, the creators of the whole key investment.
Absolutely. So whole key is basically, if you took a wholesale and you took a turnkey rental and you kind of married them too, and they had this baby called whole key. And that's kind of the easiest way I can put it together. So what we primarily do is wholesale properties to out-of-state, out-of-country investors. And then we basically turn that wholesale property. And mind you, this is $0 out of our pocket. So then we take their investment, and we'll go ahead and either rehab it for them and resell it, where Belinda will go ahead and be the listing agent, or we'll go ahead and turn it into a turnkey rental. And we have our outsourced property management company that we work with that we can rent it out for them. So we pretty much do a whole package deal. And we have two levels of services on the rehab side. Mm-hmm. We have a high end, and then we have a kind of middle class for the rentals that we do when we do the rehabs.
Very cool. So in 2018, guys, what percentage of your business was made up by just regular wholesale, retail, and whole key? Because it seems like those are the three main exits that you do, right?
Yeah, so we're at about 40% whole key, 40% wholesale, 20%. On the retail side.
On the retail side, got it. And do you project that pretty much being the case for this year? Or do you guys are you kind of shifting your model a little bit?
Yeah, we're shifting slightly, not too much. We're actually ramping up the retail side of the business because she's actually Belinda, and I can let her speak a little bit about that. But she's a partner broker a little bit now. So she's going to be building the retail side on getting more agents, and we're going to kind of work out a little bit more.
Got it.
Yeah. So what we're doing here on the retail side is we're trying to ramp that up a little bit more. So right now I partnered with my broker, and I'm helping recruit agents. We did our first recruitment session, and we had 5 or 6 people show up. It was a small little thing just to see how it worked, but we had 100% conversion rate. So all the people joined, plus another 5 that they knew and people knew. So we have about maybe, I think, 13 agents now that's underneath us, and we're training them and making them into, rock stars so that we can start leveraging them to do all the wholesale that turns into listings. Now we can just transfer that over to these agents that we're training onto our team. So we're kind of ramping up the retail side in that aspect. I'm helping my broker with that.
So anytime I hear 100% conversions, I have to ask how you did that. Granted, 5, 6 people, but now you have 13 agents. It sounds like you just recently started focusing on this. How did you get 100% of people to jump on board here?
I've been sitting down since probably November with my broker, and we've been meeting weekly and coming up with what would make us set us aside from every other agency that's out there. So what my broker does is we came up with this really cool idea where if you join our team, right, the splits aren't like, they're pretty standard, 80-20 split. We provide leads though. So we do lead generation. You're getting the leads from our wholesale side, plus we're also doing other marketing on that. So you get leads from us.
Okay.
And those are at a 60-40% split. And when you join, your first 1,000 business cards are on us. And we also provide a service, a la carte service, where you don't have any money out of pocket. So you need photos taken, we take the photos for you, we'll take the Matterport for you, we'll get the signs put out for you. You don't pay us till close. We just take that out of your commission at the back. We even offer staging for our listing. So if you need staging, we provide it at a reasonable cost for our agents, and we take it off in the back end. You can give that cost to your seller, or you can provide it for them, depending on the size of the listing. So we're giving you so many different things up front that you don't have to worry, especially with the new agent coming on board, having any money out of pocket, because That's we awesome. Provide that for you. Yeah.
You know, so what when I love people about- hear that. What I love about you guys is Jeff, you use the term white glove service when talking about Holkey. And that's what resonates with me as I hear Belinda, you talk about what you're doing for the agents that you have on board now. And so is that something you guys have always just kept at the forefront of your mind, is how do we just make it brain dead obvious and easy and simple to work with us? Like, has that just always been something that, is that,
yeah, and I think, Alex, it is because I think it's part of our core values. Our core values is serviceability. Number one is serviceability, and serviceability is service on our clientele the best that we can, and also provide efficiency in the best way we can. So I think that's why we're wired like that, is to make sure that we are providing a great service, because at the end of the day, for our wholesale side, our buyers is what's really key. You know, if I didn't have the great clientele with our buyers and the great relationship, you know, Holkey wouldn't be invented. You know, just today I got a text message from one of my Holkey buyers. He's flying into Tampa today to see one of our projects that we completed. And he just sent me a picture of his kids and say, "Hey, my family is here. So, you know, I'm taking them out and you know, come by and check them out." So this is the type of relationship I have with them.
Very cool.
You know, and I think that's what's key.
And even our out of country buyers, every time they come see us, they bring us gifts. Like,
that's so awesome.
They're always bringing something for us and for our family, you know, chocolates from Germany, or, you know, different mugs, all these different things. So we provide that type of family oriented with that service that they always want to keep coming back. We're not just, you know, we're not just a store to them or just that one person. We actually build that relationship.
Yeah. I literally turn down deals for them. Like, literally, if I have a wholesale deal and after I'll send it to them, and after I get my construction guys out there, I'm like, "Look, this is going to be way more money than I anticipated. And there's a lot more stuff that goes into it. I'd rather not do this as a whole key. I'd rather, you know, give this to someone else." So I've turned down deals that they love, just because I believe it's not a right fit for them, and I want to do what's a good service for them. It's not about these quick deals for us. It's about longevity.
Dude, I love that mentality, and that's why you guys are setting up a stable, strong foundation of your business that's sustainable and is going to be here in 10, 20 years versus like the guys that are just after the quick buck. So I love that service, white glove, customer mentality that you guys have really just embraced in your business. And I think it's probably one of those uniques that set you apart, because you and I, we all know that there's just so many wholesalers, investors in the Tampa area and in South Florida. And that's one of the things I'm challenging my team with, is everybody closes with cash. Everybody, you know, nobody charges fees or commissions, and they close in the date of your choice. Like, everybody knows those benefits to sellers, right? But what really sets you apart from everybody else out there? And I think one of the ways that people listening can set their business apart is how they treat their homeowners and their cash buyers and the people they interact with. You guys have just kind of taken it to another level now.
So. Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny that I saw a post from Ryan Robson, and he was like, basically saying, you know, instead of going to the appointment, actually going into seeing the house first, how about you sit down with your clients first? And that resonated with me, because that's exactly what I do. You know, I go in there and I sit with them first before I want to know their story. You know, I want to really talk with them before I go in there and say, "Yeah, I'm just going to come tour your house and then give you an offer." You know, it's a little more than that. And I think changing those little strategies helps tremendously from the sharks out here that are just numbers driven, instead of, you know, actually getting to know their clients. And, you know, we look for, you know, we help them out move. We help do a lot of different things. We provide a service for them.
Yeah.
So, and I want to continue doing that.
I think that's a big distinction that you just touched on, Jeff, is, you know, if you're listening to this, if you're looking at sellers with dollar signs and you're just trying to go in there and get a deal and make a quick buck, you might get lucky and connect on some deals, but it's not a recipe for long-term success. You really got to go in there wanting to genuinely help these people and crafting a solution that's going to serve them, not just serve your bottom line. So absolutely love that. I have just one quick question as far as Holkey is concerned. It seems like what really drives this is your international buyers, right? Would that be a fair statement? I mean, obviously there's the white glove service component, but is that a big part of the Holkey strategy?
Yeah, so the Holkey, I mean, it's kind of both. So we kind of have a 50-50 split on the international as well as out of state. So we have a couple of investors from New York, New Jersey, Utah, as well as Texas. And then we have our out of state Canada, as well as, you know, UK. And now we're tapping in the Chinese market. We actually have a Chinese broker here that we're going to be working with to try to tap into that market and get the Chinese buyers to purchase Holkey since they're buying at such a high price right now. So it's good for our rental properties because our buyers, typically out of state, they're only looking between 6 and 8% cap rates, where typically in Florida, these guys are looking for a lot higher percentage. Mm-hmm. So we're able to get these deals, locking them up at around 14, 15%, and then we're pushing it to them between 6 and 8%, and we're able to make a bigger spread on our wholesale fee. Yep. So our breadwinner is the wholesale side. We make money on the wholesale side. We make about $20,000 to $30,000 on the wholesale. And then from the other side, which we project manage, we'll get a flat fee of $3,000 just to oversee the project.
Okay.
Then we get money on as well as either we're going to property management or we'll go ahead and list it for a discounted listing price. So that's where we can make strategies on different areas. So we're getting paid normally some 3 times or 4 times. We're getting paid on one deal.
Yeah. So
that's the way to maximize your deals.
Yeah, you got multiple ways that you're monetizing these deals, as opposed to most wholesalers that, you know, it's an in and out transaction. They're getting paid once and that's it. You guys have figured out ways to generate multiple streams of income without having to get sidetracked with all these different businesses, and it's all in the same pot, which I absolutely love. How are you guys attracting these out of state and international buyers? So somebody listening that says, "I love this strategy. I want to look into that." And or I just want to sell more of my wholesale properties to, you know, I want to build my buyer's list. Specifically, how are you guys building and connecting with the out-of-state and international buyers?
Yeah, so perfect. Great question. What we do is actually we go on Craigslist. We go, not Craigslist, I'm sorry, Facebook. So you can go on Facebook, go into these different groups. There's Connect, Canadian Investors Group. There's UK Investment Groups. Just go on there, start Googling them, and you'll find the groups and then add yourself. And then what you do is basically say, "Hey, we're a U.S.-based company. We have off-market properties at these cap rates." So you can do what's called ghost ads, and you can put a ghost ad out there of this property, this type of cap rates, this type of rentals, and then you'll see the traction coming in. And then you kind of just build your buyers that way. And the biggest resource out of that is realtors. You know, reaching out to realtors, because that's how we all actually got started into the Holkey. It kind of fell in our lap where our UK investor met with Belinda to buy a house on the MLS, and we realized, whoa, these guys just know the MLS. So let's give them some off-market properties. So reaching out to your realtors and finding out, hey, do you have any buyers that's coming out of the UK or coming out of international buyers that are buying properties from you? I would love to actually give you 3% commission off of those deals, because we have tons of off-market properties that we can provide them, and we'll pay you on those. So building those relationships up with people in your own city, of just finding out if they do have out of country buyers, and that's what basically you could just build your list from there.
So I love that strategy so much that I'm writing it down, like literally writing it down as we speak, because it reminds me of a tip that somebody shared in another mastermind that I'm a part of that I'll share with you guys, and I'll share here in the podcast. So somebody talked about one of the things they've been doing is they've been reaching out to the admins of these Facebook groups that have a lot of people, thousands of people in a Facebook group, but it just doesn't look very active. And they've been buying Facebook groups for anywhere between like 200 and $1,000. So now they become the admins of these Facebook groups that have thousands of people, and then they can control the banner, they can control the message, et cetera. So when I hear you guys talk about that, I'm reminded of that tip and that strategy. I don't know why I've never thought of having my team join these Facebook groups and just start interacting with these buyers and with these agents. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. Absolutely. That's for sure. Very powerful.
So for sure, that was Belinda's idea, right? 100% that was Belinda's idea.
Even though you see us both on Facebook, she doesn't go on Facebook. So
yes. That is one thing I am bad at is social media.
All right. Which is ironic, right? Because it seems like you guys have connected with so many buyers, international and out-of-state buyers, through this strategy, it sounds like.
Yeah, through that and through the real estate side, the retail side. We've gotten a lot through there too. People calling off the signs, calling off my listings. I've gotten many through there. You know, they calling their investors, they live out of state, but they like how this property looks, and I get all their information, and then we transition them into the whole key model.
Yeah, I'm gonna share one more tip. With all of our rehab that we actually do, I'm sure you've seen a lot of the social media posts of, you know, before and after that I do and things like that. So what I do with that, that small little bit of content, you can post that in different groups. So people see and they can touch and feel a product. And I think that's what's key, is that when people actually see the work being done and what the price point it is and what I always literally say, hey, my buyer just profited this amount of money on this, you know? And so when people see that, they're like, whoa, I want to get involved. How can I get involved? You'll see your PM messages pop up left and right. Boom, 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 boom. So those little things, is that what we do? Yep.
Very smart. And before we move on, are you like private messaging these people of these Facebook groups, like UK investors or, you know, whatever the case might be? Are you sending them private messages or are you posting something within the group?
No, I post it within the group. I don't send the private messages. Yeah, I post it right in the group. I let everyone see it. And then I usually get private messages back.
Okay, got it. I would just say that you guys got to make sure that the admin doesn't have like specific rules. Like, just find out with the admin how you can post and what you can promote and not do, because obviously they might kick you out. But, you know.
I haven't got kicked out yet.
That's because you have Belinda's picture as your Facebook profile.
Could be the reason.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Awesome, guys. Hey, I want to kind of veer off topic for a little bit, because I think this is the first that I can think of. So we're almost 300 episodes in, and I don't think I've ever interviewed a husband-wife team. How is it, and hopefully I'm not like, you know, putting you guys on blast or like, you know, putting you front and center, but I think I'm sure there's a lot of people that work with their spouse, and I'm curious how that dynamic works. Like, how do you guys make that work? How do you thrive as business partners? And then how do you thrive as a couple, you know, when you guys are just, you know, you're attached at the hip, I would imagine 24/7, I'm sure that doesn't come without its challenges. So hopefully you guys don't mind me kind of taking the show in a slightly different direction, because I think it's, you know, you guys are both sharp. You're very successful. You're young. You have a thriving business and you're also married. So how does that dynamic work with you guys?
Well, first off, I'll start saying it's not easy. Okay. So doing this business with your significant other, the one thing and foremost, you have to be best friends. You have to know how to communicate, because if you can't do that, then it's going to be very difficult to work with your significant other. You know, you have to be able to know how to communicate and understand each other. The other thing is you need to know your place. I'm a very detailed oriented, bossy person.
I think place is the wrong word.
Maybe a role, that's how I am. I like to take control, and I had to realize that I needed to step back and give him the control he needed for certain things, because I can't do it all, you know, and trust him on those things that I, you know, that he's doing. So that's why we kind of split it up. You have to know where you fit, where your strengths are, and not try to do it all, and figure that out and make sure you trust the other to do that. It's the same thing as having a regular business partner, except for the fact that you come home together every night and you have this marriage as well, you know? So you have to be able to communicate. And even, yeah, there's times we fight, but even when we fight, I'll send him an email of what I need him to do for that day.
There you go. I absolutely believe you. And notice how I asked that question about working together. Jeff is a smart man. He just bit his tongue and he just kind of looked at Belinda and you're like, this
one. Yep, I'll let you run with that one.
There you go. I love it, guys. Hi, I'm just curious. Do you guys, when you're having dinner together, I would think it's hard and challenging not to talk business when you guys are at home or on a date or whatever the case might be. Or does it not matter for you guys and your business is your life and your life is your business?
Yeah, it's not a taboo for us. We never say don't talk about business. We think it's healthy. We, you know, if it's on our minds, we talk about it. We don't make that as a thing like, hey, we can't talk about it, because, you know, it is who we are. You know, we are building a business, we're building an empire together, and something that we do all the time. So it's kind of going to be hard not to talk about it.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And then also what we do is we have date days, because at the nighttime we do have three kids. It gets a little hard. We get tired from the whole day of working and we don't really want to go out late. So it's just like, all right, let's do a date day. So on Thursdays from 11 to 1 p.m., we're going to different restaurants or going to take some nice walks and do something together. Yeah. Where we can enjoy each other throughout the week. So I think that helps out a lot, you know.
Very
and
cool.
That's what we do.
Yeah. Keeping it fresh, keeping it spicy, keeping it on our toes. Yeah. I like it, man. I like it. I'm sure there's a lot of guys out there taking some notes, man. So that's absolutely love it, guys. You guys mentioned you have three kids, you got a business together. How do you guys what does your day look like? Because I have two kids and sometimes I'm going crazy. And one of the things that's always a challenge for me that I've gotten a lot better at is just having parameters around the business. Like, the business is important, but I have a certain lifestyle that I want. Family is at the forefront of that. And I want to make sure that my business doesn't take over and consume, because I don't work with my wife, right? For you guys, is it similar? Like, what does your day look like so that you have time to spend with the kids, do the things that's important to you? Is it easy for you to kind of put a pause on business knowing that you have team members that can keep it going? Or is that something that you guys struggle with?
We struggle.
I think, yeah, we struggle a little bit. We try to do it. I mean, so we drop it, you know, we wake up early, about 5 o'clock, 5:30-ish. We get the kids ready for school. They have to be at school around like 7:30, 8 o'clock. Okay. So we get them ready. We get them out of school. We make breakfast. We make lunch. We get them to school. We're on our way and doing our thing at work, right? So when we pick them up at around 3:30, the little one doesn't get picked up till 6. So she gets a little time where we can relax a little bit. The older kids are good by themselves.
Yeah.
So 3:30 we pick them up and we kind of still finish our work. But once everyone's home, then we get dinner together. Belinda might do some piano lessons with the kids for about an hour. And then I'll read or watch TV or do something with the kids or whatever. And that's about like as far as we go. I mean, we're still, like you said, we're still building the business. It's still a struggle for us.
Yeah.
So we're definitely trying to find, like, the piano lessons was something that, you know, we were like, man, we really need to, like, make sure we actually do stuff with these kids. And so that's what, you know, that's how we worked in the piano lessons and things. So
you want to know what
I'm still working in progress.
I really respect that. Not that I'm glad you guys are struggling. We all have struggles, but I appreciate the transparency and the vulnerability. The reason I ask that question is because something I struggle with too. And I think it's important that people out there listening know that they're not the only ones. Just because you guys have a successful business, you're in the process of building it, you have challenges like everybody else, but you're aware. You know, I asked that question and Belinda kind of like looked at you with a side eye and said, like, we're struggling, you know, and that's okay. Yeah. You're aware of it and you're working towards improving that part of your life. And it's a challenge sometimes. It's a struggle, but I think when you don't know that you have a problem, that's when you really have a problem.
Yeah.
So that's why we started making appointments in our phone for those things. So like for the piano lessons and things like that, because if you see the appointment there, you kind of know, oh, I can't schedule nothing, you know, and you try not to schedule anything during that time frame. But the thing is, what Jeff fails to mention is that you know, we'll put the little one to bed by 8:30 and then we're out working again. You know, we're on our computers and we're not going to sleep till like 10, 11, you know, finishing up whatever work we need to do. So we are still, we try to spend at least 2 hours with them during the day. But when you think about it, 2 hours, how much time really is that with your child? It's nothing. Yeah. So we need to work on that and make that better.
Yeah. Not only that, guys, but the 2 hours you're spending with them, the one thing I guess I would challenge you guys with that I've been challenged with is, are you fully present during those 2 hours? Or are you like sneaking in text messages and checking Podio or checking voicemail? Sometimes I feel guilty where I'm playing with my daughter and I hear Voxer and I don't need to check that Voxer. It's not important to me, but like I still might do it. And then I see her going, boppy, 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 you know, and it's like, I feel guilty. I literally now just leave my phone in the other room, sometimes turn it off, because if you're not fully present, that 2 hours is really like 30 minutes or maybe an hour. So
exactly. Yeah,
and I can definitely attest that I do that. So absolutely.
Yeah, every so often I do, but I try to put my phone down, you know, and actually really engage. Especially that's why I like the piano lessons, because with that, it's cool. You know, we have to actually look at it and we're both really interacting with it, you know, and look at the notes and stuff. So you really can't check that phone, you know, because you're trying to teach them something and they're excited about it. So, you know, that I'm really more present with than other things. But yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. And that's what we're trying to work better towards doing, is really being present during that time frame that we're spending with them.
Very cool. Yeah. Well, thank you guys again for being so vulnerable with that. I'm going to kind of jump back on board here as far as like the technical, some of the technical things. Belinda, you and I were talking before we started recording. Jeff, she was saying you guys now are doing deals on the phone?
Yes.
Okay, so talk to me a little bit about that, because I was sharing with you, we've attempted that and we haven't given it a strong push, but it hasn't really worked out. I'm wondering if it's, you have to have the right person on the phone, combination of the market, but you guys are in Tampa, we're in Miami. It's not that different. How are you guys making up?
Yeah, so we're doing really well with it after we did a structure change. So my lead manager, originally she was taking the calls and she was transferring the calls over to our acquisitions, but it wasn't, they kept like re-answering the same question. The seller was getting upset. So the process wasn't refined. It wasn't working right. So until I switched everyone's roles. And so I took one of our acquisitions guys and I made him like a junior acquisition / lead manager. And so he's taking those calls now and he already has kind of a good understanding of the acquisition. So he knows the right questions to say, the rebuttals, and it's working a lot better for him taking the calls. And so what we did is we, in our Podio system, we created, when a new call comes in, it then sends my acquisition guy a text message saying new call is coming in. So he would already know that a new call is coming in. So he'll look in Podio and instantly starts to work with our acquisition guy, our lead manager guy, sorry. And so they'll kind of work together on the calls.
Okay.
And he'll pretty much already pull up all the details of that call and start and run the comps, start running everything. So when he does a warm transfer over to the acquisition guy, he'll already basically know everything about that client that he's talking to. And so it's not a surprise. And he'll kind of go into the conversation like, Hey, Mr. Seller, you know, it looks like Jake got all your information down. I'm fully aware of the situation. I'm here to help and kind of go into details. And yeah, I just pulled up the data of the properties in the neighborhood. Okay. We'll go through the flow. We'll look at the comparables right there and then. And then he'll present them with an offer. Okay. Because he already knows the numbers. And the lead manager already kind of have an idea of the numbers. So we just validate it matches up. And if not, then he'll say, well, you know, I know you're looking for 60,000. Unfortunately, after we reviewed the comps, you know, the house right there on Elm Street just sold for 40, you know, and now it's fully renovated. So it's really hard for us to pay 60. And then we'll go into what we can't pay. And then that's how we were able to lock it up over the phone.
Are you finding it challenging to take the seller through a certain sales process to really uncover motivation on the phone? or are you guys just has that not been a challenge being able to do it on the phone?
It was a challenge. It's not a challenge no more. It's actually it's very smooth from the time we get the call. So when we warm transfer over to our acquisitions guy. So while he's on the phone, he warm transfers and he say, "Hey, okay, well, I'm going to have my acquisition guy. Let me reach out to him right now, see if he's available." But he's already Voxering him and messaging him, "Hey, you know, take this call." Boom. And then we just fluidly transfer everything. So okay. I think the flow of what we're doing works. It might be different in your business and, you know, different markets, but for us, I mean, it works really well. And their team really adjusts to the new method and they love it. They absolutely love it. They're crushing it. They're enjoying it. And it's fun for them. When I realized, okay, your role, I had you in the wrong position. Yeah. I was like, I just moved you and now everything is working great.
It's crazy, right? Jim Collins talks about you got the right people on the right bus in the right seat. That's so critical.
And I think too, Alex, to your point before, it is a certain personality. The person can sound scripted. Our junior acquisitions person that's on the phone now, who's taking the calls, he has such a sincere personality. The way he speaks to you, you just want to tell him your life story. Yeah. So it's so easy for him to get that out of these people and be able to find that trigger point of motivation because he's so easy to talk to. Yep. So you don't want to put your cutthroat acquisitions guy that's the closer. That is not the person that's initiating the call, you know, that's bringing that person in.
Yeah,
so that's why you need those two people.
And the original person we had, she was too scripted, and that was the issue. She was very scripted, and when she got someone that was direct, was like, "I just want an offer. Just give me an offer."
Yeah.
She was like, "Well, you know, sir, you know, going back to the script," I'm like, "You can't do that." You know,
you got to adjust the fly. Yeah, you have to understand the seller's personality type and be able to adjust on the fly. The script is not meant to sound like a robot and only stick to the script.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
got it. Well, guys, in kind of wrapping this up, this is a question you guys I know have heard the show before, so you may or may not be prepared for it, but you're young. Take us back 10, 15 years knowing what you know now. What's that one piece of advice you'd share with yourself? And I'm curious for you, Jeff, because didn't you used to promote clubs and stuff and now you can't stay up past 10:30? How times have changed.
That's right.
Isn't that how you guys met? Didn't you guys meet at a club or something where you were a promoter?
We did.
Yep.
We did.
Yeah, I listen.
Crazy world, man.
Yeah.
But I would say looking back at it, you know, telling my 15-year-old me, one is to be more focused, because I was not focused back then. I didn't keep my eyes on the prize. I was all over the place. So, and then I'll also say, you know, read more and really educate yourself, and then find a mentor as quickly as possible. Because I didn't really have anybody to really guide me, to know my financials and everything like that. I would literally make $1,000 and blow $1,000 and be like, "Man, I don't have the money. I got to figure out this all over again." Yeah. And so, you know, I think finding a mentor quickly and effectively would be key. I know it's transformed our business is, you know, finding mentors. I mean, we spent like 80-something thousand dollars last year in coaching and mentorship. I think it's key to building a business. That's what I would tell myself. I'm not sure what you.
No, I totally agree with that. Focus is definitely a thing. We have a 17-year-old son. So, you know, he actually comes to us with a lot of different things. And I'm glad he does, because he sees us as the people who know what they're doing, you know, and he comes to us for advice. And I'm glad that I can tell him those things, whether he follows it or not. Sometimes I don't know, but the whole point is find that person that you know is doing the right thing and go for them for mentorship and be focused. Stop following the shiny object everywhere. Yeah, keep your eye on the prize, is what Jeff has said. And I totally agree with that. If I knew this back then, we would be in a whole different position.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on here, being transparent, sharing what's working, how you guys have been able to make the marriage work, the partnership work, growing the business. So love you guys. Appreciate you jumping on. I'm guessing the twobelindas.com, is that where people go and reach you guys?
I'm surprised he hasn't bought the domain yet.
I know. I might just buy before Alex.
Dude, when we were in Bimini, I could have sworn you were, I saw you on GoDaddy, like buying like every variation to Belindas.com.
Yeah, I thought I was.
That's awesome.
Well, you know, I haven't bought it yet, but I am. Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram. It's Jeff Henry, ItsJeffHenry. It's Jeff Henry. And then also our Facebook, Jeff and Belinda, Belinda. Yes, we have a together Facebook because we are a power couple. So
there you go. You guys, I would expect nothing less. Yeah, guys, as always, we'll include those links in the show notes page and your website if you want to include that. And if not, that's fine. But really appreciate you guys just hopping on and kind of bearing all. I will, at the time that this gets published, I'll probably be seeing you in less than a week or so. So really appreciate you guys. Keep crushing. You know, I'm always here for you. And guys, for you listening, you know, the one thing I wrote down from this particular interview, and I always take away something, is connecting with investors and realtors of Facebook groups. That is one easy way to build a buyer's list that I've never even considered. So thank you for sharing that, whether it's that or anything else, speed of implementation, get to work, and you'll see the results in due time. So appreciate you guys.
It's thank a wrap.
Awesome. Appreciate you too, brother.
Thank you. All right, guys. I'll see you. Take care.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.